Okay, page 66. Let's go. It's late. We started last time what's called Bris Ben Hapsodim. And we said that this really happened when page 66. This happened when Avraham Avinu was really 70 years old versus the beginning of Lech Lecha, which Avraham Avinu was actually 75. Okay, so let's just start. Last week there was no class, so let's just start. Achad Hazvan Amayel, Perik Aleph. Mamash the top of 66. Achad Hazvan Amayel, Hoyod Var Hashem El Avram Leimor. After these things, meaning after the victory of the four kings against the five kings, and we'll see why that's important to know in Avram's response to Hashem. Hoyod Var Hashem El Avram B'machzel Leimor. Hashem appeared to Avram in a vision, meaning in a prophecy. And like we learned already many times, only Moshe Rabbeinu had a wake-up vision during the day. All the other prophets, including Avram Avinu, their vision was at night during the time of sleep, when the neshama leaves the body, it's not restricted by the body, and that's when the neshama actually has the visions. Okay, see, Hashem says to him, what was the vision? Altira Avram, don't be afraid of Avram. Avram, don't be afraid. Now, why was Avram? Why would Avram be afraid? What was he afraid of? He is afraid that he used up all his merits. We find an interesting thing earlier in Chumash, and this is one of the greatness of tzaddikim. Yaakov Avinu, by the dream, was promised by Hashem that he's going to bring them back home safely. Yeah? Yaakov Avinu all of a sudden comes back. He's fighting with Esav. The pre-fighting with Esav. So Yaakov says, "Kotainti mikol achsadim mikol emes. I'm humbled from all the kindness that Hashem did." So the Medrash says like this. Yaakov Avinu didn't doubt that Hashem's going to bring him home. He promised him. Avram Avinu was afraid he used up his merits. In other words, why is it tzaddik promised he's going to be safe? Because he has merits. So Yaakov maintained in Lavan's house, he used up all his merits. So then I'm not left with any merits. So therefore he was humbled. We call a chesed and we call a emes. The Medrash says the same thing with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was promised by Hashem ve'escha l'goy gadol. At the beginning of Lech Lecha, even though it happened really after the story, like we said, 5 years later. But Avraham Avinu was promised by Hashem, he's going to have a large nation. All of a sudden, Avraham's scared. What's he afraid? He knows what's going to happen now. Hashem's going to promise him a lot of different things. And he says, what are you giving me? I don't have any children. What do you mean? God promised him a lot of children. But the answer is Avraham Avinu, in his humility, maintained that the fact that he won, a miracle happened to him. Right? A miracle happened to him. That he won the war of the four kings against the five kings and he saved life. He was afraid that his merits were used up. And therefore he was afraid that he's not going to be able to have children and, okay. So therefore Hashem said to him, don't worry about it. What?
Did Abraham know that Ishmael wasn't going to be the one to get the blessing? Did he know before?
As far as Avraham Avinu was concerned, Ishmael was fit to get blessed. He said, "Lo Ishmael yichel lefanecha." Other mefarshim learn, what was Avraham Avinu afraid here? He was afraid he messed up with Zdoim. The king of Zdoim said, "Give me the people, and you take the property." Avram said, "I'm not taking the property." Mammy said, "I don't want you to say I made him rich." But the people of Zdaim went back to the king of Zdaim. So Avram Avinu was upset. He said, "You know, if I would have kept them, I would have been able to influence them in a positive way. They wouldn't be Zdaim people. That would be much better, much more religious, believing in God." So that's what he was afraid of, that he lost his reward. So Hashem says to him, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid. Anechi mogen lach, I am your shield. Meaning, I, Hashem said, Rashi quotes, I am your protector. You will not be punished for all the people that you killed in the war. You will not, and not only that, the Medrash says, what does a shield do? A shield protects the person. Right? So, I will be your shield. You know, there's an interesting story. It's a well-known story. It's a little for bringing it tonight. So this is a Rebbe story. When there was that school in Tzfas. I'll say Tzfas. Remember, there was the terrorists came and they killed X amount of boys, and then they counted the mezuzahs, and they found that the exact amount of mezuzahs that were not kosher corresponded with the amount of boys that were killed by the terrorists. In Malot, I think it was. Where was it? Anyway, I'll say that Tzfas it was. I don't remember it. And then there was another kid got killed, and then they found afterwards another mezuzah that wasn't kosher. Okay? So the Rebbe, by Fabreng, was speaking, you see the importance of a mezuzah as protection. It's not coincidental that the exact amount of non-kosher mezuzahs were the amount of people in Nebuch that were killed. So it became a big uproar in the world. In the Frum world, it became a terrible uproar. They interpreted to mean, and they said so clearly, that the punishment of not having a kosher mezuzah is that somebody dies.
You have a few that have non-kosher mezuzahs?
One second. But that's what they were saying. They said, in other words, the Rebbe is saying that because there were 19 not kosher mezuzahs, 19 people died. How can you say that? And they were screaming. They were very, very angry. How could the Rebbe say such a thing, that the punishment for not having a mezuzah is, God forbid, people dying? So the next upbringing, which happened to be at also, the Rebbe was screaming. He said, that's what I said? And the Rebbe gave an analogy. So clear. When the Rebbe explains things so simply, just simple, and it's so profound. The Rebbe said, in wartime, if a person wears a helmet, yeah, and the enemy shoots something at the helmet, so the helmet will save you. Correct? If you don't have a helmet, God forbid, the guy shoots you, you're gonna die. If they hit you in the head, right? The Rebbe says, does that mean that what killed him, the no helmet? Does that mean that the fact that he didn't wear a helmet, that's why he got killed? No. He got killed because a guy shot at him. If he would have been wearing a helmet, he would have been protected. But nobody's gonna say that because somebody doesn't wear a helmet, that's why they get killed. That's ridiculous. The Rebbe said, a mezuzah is a helmet. What killed the Nebuch, those innocent boys? The gun of the enemy, or whatever it was. If they would have been wearing a helmet, meaning if they had a kosher mezuzah, they would have been protected. But not chas v'sholom to say or to imply or to think even that a person who doesn't wear a helmet, that's what kills them. God forbid, a guy's in a car crash and he's not wearing a seatbelt and he gets killed. So, what killed him? The no seatbelt. You can go in a car, no seatbelt, you're going to die? No. The crash killed him. If he would have been having a seatbelt, might have been saved. If they had kosher mezuzah, the mezuzah would have saved them. This is what Hashem's saying at Avraham Avinu. Anechi magen lach. I'm your shield. I protect you from all the evil forces. And he says like this, Schorcha harbe meid. What was Avraham Avinu said, afraid? And that's why Hashem said, don't be afraid. He thought he used up his merits. Hashem said to him, don't worry about it. Schorcha harbe meid. You have an unlimited amount of merits, and you have plenty to go around in this world and in the next world. Okay? And Hashem said, the Medrash says, what?
There's a bug out there.
Bug off.
Came to the class.
Jimmy, nobody does better.
Okay. As they say in America, bug off. And the Medrash says, Hashem said to him, to Avram, you were afraid about the people you killed? There was not one righteous person in the people you killed. So don't worry about it. They all deserve to die. You have nothing to... But you know, there's an interesting halacha. It's an interesting gemara. It's brought down in halacha. And we find the stories like this in the gemara. It says in halacha, if Hashem does a miracle to you, a miracle for you, you should be a little worried. Because you used a lot of points for this one. A lot of points of your schar points, your miles, were used for this miracle that happened. It says a person, the person should worry. There's a famous story in the Gemara. It was one of the Tanoim's wives. They were very poor. There's a famous story in the Gemara. She told her husband, go get some money, go daven tashav. You know, you help everybody out with your miracles. Go, I think it was Rameh's wife. Go help, get some money. So he went out to the field, Yidavim Tashem, and all of a sudden a hand came out from heaven, holding a golden leg of a table. Gold. Solid gold. A leg, it looked like a leg of a table. He was happy, took the money home, the gold home, Baruch Hashem, they'll have what to survive for a long time. That night the wife had a dream, that they're sitting in Gan Eden with all their friends. Even though it's funny, in that generation, their friends were in Gan Eden. To now they say, in today's time, they say, if you're going for the climate, go to Gan Eden. If you're going for the company, go to hell. To Gehenna. That's where your company is going to be. Not too many people are going to be with you, and it's going to be boring. Like the story, Hashem said, doesn't pay the cook over there in Gan Eden. There's nobody there. Anyway, she had a dream that night that all the friends are sitting in Gan Eden, and everybody is sitting by a four-legged table, and they're sitting by a three-legged table. So she understood the leg is coming off from somewhere. So she told her husband, where is the Gemara? She told her husband, take it back. Give it back. So Gemara says he went out into the field and he davened to Hashem, we don't want it, take it back. And the Gemara says a miracle happened, a hand came out from heaven and took it back. And the Gemara says that the second miracle was bigger than the first miracle. Why? Because Hashem gives, but he doesn't take away. So the fact that Hashem took it away is even a bigger miracle. It says, in heaven they give it, but they don't take it away. So here a bigger miracle happened that their hand took it away. Why? Because it was beneficial for them. So in other words, normally, what we're learning over here is like this. Avraham Avinu was afraid that a lot of his schar was taken away because of all the miracles that happened to him. Hashem says to him, schar chahar b'meid, don't worry about it. You have an abundance of reward. There's a lot of reward to go around. Don't worry about it. Okay. Then it says like this. V'yemer Avram, so Avram now answered to Hashem the following. Hashem Elokim matiten li. Okay? Hashem Elokim matitani, what are you going to give me? Meaning, as the Mepharshim explained, you're going to give me a lot of reward for whom? Who's it going to get? Who's going to get it? He says, "Vanechi helech ariri, I'm going childless." Ariri means without children. "Uvemesik besi," and the steward of my house, meaning Eliezer, is Damesik Eliezer. Eliezer that came from Damesik, or he ran after the kings to Damesik, whatever it is. Okay? Now, so what was Avraham Avinu afraid? He said, God, you're telling me you're going to give me a lot of reward, a lot of things, a lot of, for whom? What are you going to do with it? I'm not taking it down to the grave. I have no kids to give it over to. My servant Eliezer, he's not even Jewish, as great as he was. So I'm going without children. Now, this concept of Hashem Elokim, this is brought down later. Here. Okay, it says Hashem Elokim is, it's a contrast. Okay? Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, that's the attribute of mercy. Elokim is the attribute of strictness. Tzimtzum, concealment, contraction, limitation, concealment. Hashem Elokim, and not only that, but if you look the way it's written, Elokim is not written out Elokim. It's written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but we pronounce it Elokim. You have many words like that in Tillim, in different places. It's written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but it's pronounced Elokim. And what did he say? Adnai. Avraham Avinu was the first one, the Medrash says, from this Pasuk. He was the first one to call Hashem with the name Adin, with the name Master. Nobody ever called Hashem with the name Master before. Avraham Avinu was the first one, Adnai, Master. And then he called Hashem Elokim. But Hashem is a written verse, and Elokim is a pronunciation of it, which means the combination of Din and Rachmim together. Now, there's another interesting thing here. Hashem's name is written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, right? That's the real name of Hashem. How do we pronounce it? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Adnai. You don't say, right? Adnai is this called. It's written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and it's written Adnai. I mean, it's pronounced Adnai. We don't read it, God forbid, what the blank witnesses call themselves. Okay, we're not allowed to say that name. Hashem's name, even though it's written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and there's certain vowels on the letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but we pronounce it Adnai. Now, Chazal tell us an interesting thing. The Gemara says in Brachis and Shulchan Aruch, Gadol ha'ayna amen yaseh me'amavarech. A person who answers amen to a bracha is greater than the one that made the bracha. So there's two reasons for this. Halachic reason, Kabbalah reason. The simple halachic reason for that is, you know, like, we're all into politics, I'm sure. Somebody makes a motion, and then you second the motion. So what validates the motion? The guy that seconds the motion. The guy that makes the bracha says, Baruch Atah Hashem. And then the guy that says, Amen, means it's true, validates it. That's why he's greater. But there's another reason, brought down in Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei equals 26. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adnai, the way we pronounce it, equals 65. The way Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is written, it's 26, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is 1, 4, 50, and 10, is 65. 26 plus 65 equals 91. Yeah? You're good in math. 91. The word Amen equals 91. Aleph Mem Nun is 91. What does that mean? So Chazal say very simple. The guy that says the bracha is only saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. He's not saying Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Verbally, how do you make it? It's written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But how do you pronounce it? Only Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is 65. So the guy that answers Amen is greater than the guy that says the Adler, which is 65. Because when he says 91, Amen, which is 91, he's saying Havaya, Yudke Vavke, and Adnai together. So that's why the Gemara says, the one that answers Amen is greater than the one that makes the Bracha. And that's the same thing, Havaya, Adnai, Havaya, Amin Alukim. It's written Yudke Vavke, but Avraham Avinu was actually the first one, the Mefarshim saying that actually called Avraham, Amin Hashem, Adnai. Okay? Now, say, what does he say? Uvemesik Basi Udamesik Eliezer. It's only Damesik Eliezer from Damascus. Some of Farshim say that how does Eliezer get to Damesik? Like it says in the Pasuk, Al Picha Yishak, Pari said to Yosef, and your mouth, the whole nation will follow you. So Yishak is over here, Damesik is the same word. Some people say he actually went into Damascus when he chased the kings. Other Mefarshim say Damesek means Doyle Umashke, meaning he brought up from the well. That means he heard from Avram and he publicized it to others. He gave it to others. So that's all the different concepts of what. But Avram Avinu is telling Hashem, he said, listen, God, why are you giving me all this stuff? What am I going to do with it? I'm not going to be able to do anything with it. Eliezer is going to get it. So what happened over here is like this.
Is that the attitude or the tone you think he's taking? You think he's taking that kind of tone?
Yeah. Why is he talking like that to Hashem?
I mean...
You know, tonight should be Samos, the Friedrich Rebbe's birthday and Liberation Day. The previous Rebbe had a statement.
Is that
what? The previous Rebbe had a statement. He said in Yiddish, but of having kinder, that having Mesiris Nefesh. To have children, you have to go all the way out. Mesiris Nefesh, to have children. Like I told you, there are many people that ask the Rebbe for bracha for children. And the Rebbe gave him a bracha, and the guy said to the Rebbe, no, I want a promise. And sometimes it worked. I have a cousin like that. Told the Rebbe, I want a promise. Didn't have children for a long time. And the Rebbe gave him a bracha. He said, no, I want a promise. The Rebbe promised, and he had a kid. Which is l'chayra chutzpah. If you think about it, you know, beggars can't be choosy. Somebody's giving you a bracha, he said, no, just 1 minute. I want this one.
Sign on the bottom line.
It's like the Alter Rebbe in a Yom Yom. It's brought down. There was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Yamin Kletzker. Klutz is wood. He was a very wealthy lumber merchant, and he once went into the Alter Rebbe for yichidus for an audience, and the Alter Rebbe wanted to give him a bracha for Arichas Yamin. You should live long. The Alter Rebbe wanted to give him a bracha, which is a big bracha to live long. So he says to the Alter Rebbe, Aber, I'll say it in Yiddish because that's, Aber nit peir shiyodin, vase naim lehem vela yiru, vase naim lehem vela yishmo. Don't give me peasant ears that have eyes and don't see, and have ears and don't hear. In other words, he says to the Alter Rebbe, this is really, if you think about chutzpah, the Alter Rebbe gives you a bracha, living long, and he says, 1 minute, I want a conditional one. It's like, you know, somebody says, I want to buy you a car, but I want this car. You know, not a cheap car. I want it. I mean, come on. How does he have the chutzpah? So the Rebbe explains in many sikhas that he that's not what he told the Alter Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, one thing I'm asking you. You want to give me a bracha for living long? It should be a bracha, not a curse. If I'm living long, I don't want eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear, because then it's not a bracha. Then you're not, he just said, Rebbe, all I'm asking you is, if you give me a bracha, give me a bracha. I should be able to see, you know, eyes that see and ears that, you know, I should be, functioning like a Jew. It could be, Avram is telling Hashem, God, I don't have any kids. And basically, you remember that you told me I'm going to have a lot of kids. Right? So, right. So I'm saying, so it could be Avraham Avinu played his cards. He was, so to speak, chutzpedik tashem. You know, as long as you get what you need. It could be chutzpedik. For good things, you could be chutzpedik tashem. Hashem doesn't mind it.
Would you say that when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for the Jews at the golden calf, he said, take me out of your book? Is that
what yeah.
That's pretty...
Yeah, it's pretty chutzpedik. Yeah. Okay, so Avraham Avinu is saying, this guy is going to inherit me, this stranger from Damascus or Damascus, whatever. V'yem Avraham, and Avraham continued. And he said, Hein li le'nasat azara. To me, you didn't give any children. V'nei ben beisi yerish eisi. He says, you want somebody else that works in my house to have it. In other words, even if you could go, he says like this. Avraham, what's Avraham continuing? So the Mefarshim explained. No, the Chizkuni, the Sipuni, a lot of them say a very interesting thing. What it means is, he says, even if I would have a kid now, yeah, who's going to run the house? Eliezer or my kid? What say is my kid going to have? Avraham, don't forget, was 100 years old. Well, here was 70, okay? He didn't know how long he was going to live. And by the way, when did he have a kid later? At 100, he had a kid. So Avraham Avinu is telling Hashem, he says, even if you do give me a kid, the Mepharshim explained, but who's going to be in charge? Not my kid. It's going to be the regular person, the domestic guy. There's a story. I mentioned the story. I don't remember which class I mentioned it, though. There's a story that was, this father had a very trusted servant, and the son went away to yeshiva to learn. And one day the son gets a letter in the yeshiva. This is, sorry to inform you, your father passed away. They open up the will, and the will says the following. The servant should give my son what he wants and take the rest for himself. There's an only son, only child, very close to the father, and the son was bothered. The servant wanted to give him a few little things and take everything for himself. So the kid was really hurt. So he went to his Rosh Hashiva, or rabbi, who's a very smart man, and he shows him the will, and he's reading it and rereading it and rereading it. All of a sudden, the Rebbe smiles. Rebbe smiles. He said, your father was a very smart man. So what did he say in the will?
Whatever he wants, yeah.
The servant should give you what he wants, meaning what he wants to take for himself is what he should give you. What he wants, he should give you. That means the 95% that he was going to take for himself. That's what... There's another similar story. So, and the Rebbe said to his son, your father was a very smart man. He didn't want that it should get to your head. All of a sudden you're very wealthy, so he wanted you to break into it a little bit. Then there was another story, a similar story. A father, again, same story, a very close son, and he had a servant in the house. And the father left over in the will, everything goes to the servant except one thing. One thing the kid could pick, and everything else goes to the servant. Broken hearted, the kid doesn't know what does that mean, what is it? So he comes to the Rebbe, shows him the will. His Rebbe reads it, and he said, again, big smile on the Rebbe's face. He said, you're yeshiva bacher. Don't you know that whatever a slave owns belongs to the master? He says, all you have to do is pick the slave. You're able to pick one thing. Pick the slave, you have it all. And again, he said, the father did it because he wanted you to understand that you're not, you know. Avraham Avinu is playing the cards with Hashem. He says, so, and who's going to run the house if even if I do have a kid? Okay? So what happened? Hinei Dvar Hashem, Dvar Hashem Elav Lemer. So the word of Hashem said to him, Lo Yirosh Chazer. It's not true. Eliezer is not going to inherit you. He's not going to inherit you. Okay?
How does the word of Hashem come to him? Does he...
Oh, so the Ramban says, while Avraham Avinu was speaking, this thought came into his head. This thought of God, from God, that's what Ramban said. Suddenly, while Avraham was still speaking, or still thinking, then Hashem revealed it. By the way, according to the Rambam, it's very interesting. According to the Rambam, Meir Nevuchim, it's a very interesting Rambam, Meir Nevuchim, and the Guide to the Perplexed. According to the Rambam, all these stories that happened were all dreams. In other words, you know the story of the three angels coming to Avraham Avinu? The Rambam in Meir Nevuchim says it wasn't the three actual angels came to Avraham Avinu. It was a dream. Avraham dreamt that three angels came to him, and the whole thing with the angels, the Rambam writes in Meir Nevuchim, was a cholam. This thing, the Rambam writes, was a whole cholam. Avraham speaking, that was all in a dream. So while he's in the dream, which is the vision and the prophecy, Hashem says to him, no, lo yirosh chazer. This guy, Damascus, is not going to, Eliezer is not going to inherit you. Okay? Your servant is not going to be your heir. Who's going to inherit you? The one that comes from your stomach. Meaning, what is Hashem telling Avraham Avinu? Because he asked the question, the kid's going to be a baby and Eliezer is going to run the show, so the kid will have nothing. He said no.
So it's not so chesbedek.
Well, he got what he wanted. Yeah, but as he says to Hashem, I mean, Hashem says to him, this kid is going to be an adult when you die. He's not going to be a baby. And like we know, Yitzchok was 37, I mean, no, later. When Avram died at 175, Yitzchok was 75. He was born when Avram Avinu was 100, right? He was 75.
Even when Eliezer was on the camel with Rivka,
right,
and she saw that Yitzchak was praying, she said, who is that? It's my master.
Right.
My master.
Yeah. Yitzchak was the master because he inherited Avram. And before that, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, the next pasuk, we're just going to start because there's a lot to talk in this pasuk. Vayetze Eise Achutza, Hashem took Avraham Avinu outside. And he said to him like this, Habet no Hashemayim, look towards the heavens, Usvara Kechavim, and count the stars, Im Tucho Leilis Baro Yisam, if you can count them. Okay? Vayayim Elai, Koyi Yazarach. So are your children going to be. Now, what does it mean God took him outside? Plain meaning is, he took him outside, he said, look, see the stars? See a lot of stars? Not like tonight, there's one star out there. There's a lot of stars. Hashem probably made it very dark, you know, it's a lot of stars came out that night. Okay.
Turn the lights on.
Another interesting thing, Rashi says in Chumash in many places, in Hebrew, there's a lot of expressions for looking. You have Raya, Re'iya. You have Habet. Like here it says, Habet no. Rashi says, here, V'zel loshin abata, Rashi says, Momayla lamata. When Hashem took Avraham Avinu out, and he said, look at the stars, Rashi says, from the Medrash, that in Hebrew, habata is looking from higher to lower. The Re'i of seeing is lower to higher. I look up at the sky. Habetna is, we ask going to Hashem, Habetna Uda A. In Davening we say a lot of times, Habetna and Tachnun and Slichas. Habetna, Hashem should look down. The Medrash says Hashem took Avraham Avinu on top of the stars. Hachutza, not only outside. That's the simple meaning. He took him outside. In the tent, you can't see the stars. So he took him outside to go look at the stars. But the deeper meaning is, Hashem took him out of the earthly sphere, and he said, look down at the stars, meaning, and he said, Koyi Yazarech. What's going on over here? Rashi quotes, same it's Dignina Shalach. Go out of your astrology. Your mazel says you're not going to have kids? Forget your mazel. I'm putting you on top of the mazel. Higher than mazel. So basically, Hashem took him outside on top of the stars, meaning Hashem showed Avraham Avinu, you are now in control of nature. If Avraham Avinu is looking down to the stars, that means by definition he is higher, greater, loftier than the stars to nature. Hashem said to him, yeah, by the laws of nature, you're barren. Right? You're not going to have kids. Even though he had a kid, Yishmael. But Hashem said to him, you are going to have a child because now your mouth, and that's why Hashem's going to change his name. As Avram, you're not going to have children. Yiddish children, you know, Yitzchak. But Avraham, then you're going to have children.
Is this the source where we know that we change our name?
This is a source of changing the name. Hashem didn't change his name, by the way. He added a letter. He added something to it. He added a name, basically. But over here, and that's too late to go into now because we're going to leave it, the whole story that we discussed already in the past, but the Mefarshim here had a lot more details to this. L'chaira, Jews are not bound by mazel. Why did Hashem say, go out of your mazel? And there's a lot of Mefarshim say, collectively, we're going to discuss it next time. Collectively, Jews don't have mazel. There's no mazel collectively. Individually, Jews do have mazel. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya learns, and others. But other people say, no, ain mazel, we discussed already. Ain mazel, again, next week we're going to much more. Ain mazel Yisrael means a Jew is not bound by mazel. And we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem next week the whole inyan of the difference between a Jew and a Goy in idol worshipping, if a Jew is allowed to believe in a Trinity versus a Goy. Is a Goy allowed to believe in a Trinity? Is a Goy allowed to believe in Mazel? And if a Jew is bound by Mazel? So, Mr. Shem, next week, we'll get into all that stuff. But now,
you didn't record the show?
Yeah.
Moshe, what's going on with you?
I don't know, my knee is twisted.
Like your knee is twisted, it's not bad. The no, brain's not twisted.
Your mind's not twisted. Don't let people.
Okay, you be Tammuz. We have to.